الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. As explained, Allah Ta'ala has prescribed rozas for us, but Allah made it. He said it in such a way, He didn't say, I made rozas for us. He said, rozas have been made for us upon you. So that this love relationship with Allah Ta'ala is not tainted in the least, but that a person doesn't feel that my beloved, he has made life hard for me. Because rozas are on the nafs, they are hard. So Allah Ta'ala said, they have been made for us. But of course Allah Ta'ala made them for us. And in that also, ulama have written that rozas have been made for us on every part of the body. So the normal roza, the shari'i, the fiqhi roza, which we all know, to abstain from eating, drinking, and our sexual desires from subah sadiq until sunset, that is called a roza. But the whole complete roza and a perfect roza is that we keep roza of every part of the body, in which we kept, we have discussed roza of the tongue, that a person must be careful what he speaks, and also roza which Allah has written here, made it for us, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you acquire taqwa. And also the object of a khanqa and going to a sheikh and staying in his company and becoming bay'at is also taqwa. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اِتَّقُوا اللَّهِ, acquire taqwa. You have got iman, but now acquire taqwa. And the method of it is كُونُوا مَا الصَّادِقِينَ, be with those who are truthful in their taqwa, who genuinely have got taqwa. Be with those people and taqwa will come. So we say Ramzan's objective is also the same, to acquire taqwa. And what is this, even if you go to a sheikh and you become bay'at, etc., and you stay in the company of the sheikh for your islah, for your tarbiyat, it is really that a few permissible things are given up for a little while. So that is what roza is also. Food is halal, halal food is halal, but for a little while, from subah sadiq till sunset, it has been made haram, the permissible food. Haram food is haram all the time. The same thing, halal drink has been made impermissible for a short while. Your halal wife, she is 100% halal for you, but for a short while, she is not halal for you. So this is how islah also takes place. So in all our matters, that staying away from halal food, drink, and our wives, etc., and then taqwa will come into a person. But this complete taqwa will come when we will stay away from speaking also things which are permissible. We keep roza of the tongue, that we don't just speak and blabber and all that all the time. We can try and cut our talking to its bare minimum, only what is absolutely necessary. And the tongue, Allah has made it, it has to be engaged, it has to be busy all the time. So Allah has given us more than enough things. And for the month of Ramadan, what can be better than tilawat of Quran Sharif? Also, Quran Sharif, we should keep in mind, just as we had heard now, one of the best acts indeed is al-hal wal-murtahil. A person who reads, completes, starts again. So we should also make that habit. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi has written that nowadays that has just remained a custom. That when we finish with Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbin Nas, then we start and read Alhamdu Sharif, the Hif students who complete also, and also the Taraweeh, then we read again from Alif Lam Mim Tal Muflihun. That is, now it has become a custom. Whereas actually it should be that you carry on. You don't, it's not just that for a custom you stop there, but you should carry on from there. By Allah's fazal and tawfiq, Allah has given me almost since the beginning of our marriage with Appa, that I habrawaha Quran Sharif. And she is very insistent on it, that when I finish, that I come till Muflihun, and then again I start from Alhamdu Alif Lam Mim. She says, no, you just carry on from here. Because this should not be a custom. It should be, you have come till here, now you just carry on from here again. So may Allah give us tawfiq, that we bring that within us, that we don't just make it a custom. Another thing also which has become quite a custom is like the imams of the Haramain Sharifain. Haji Maipadia rahmatullah alayh should be with a very burning and concerned heart. He should say this, that the steps are not straightened. And the imam just before starting, he say, Saffu sufufakum tadilu, that of make yourself straight, etc. All the announcements they make, which come in the Hadith Sharif, but nobody really. And many people will even look down, but they don't move if they see they are not right. And the stuffs have to be so straight. It comes in the Hadith Sharif, and we should try here that when a person is practicing to shoot, or to get his target right, and he wants to hit the bull's eye, he tries his best like that. In the days of before, with the arrow and the spear, they should practice also to try and spot on to hit it. Like that, the stuff how it should be also made straight, perfectly straight. And in fact, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam should walk in the stuffs also to see that the stuff is made absolutely straight. The only place I saw this with my eyes was in the Markaz of Raiwind. There, before namaz, the imam, or they should appoint people in every saf. We try it here in the Darul Uloom. Many times we have tried it, we get it right, but then it just falls away. Where it goes away, only Allah knows. Then again, after some time, the thought comes again we start, which carries on for a while, again it falls. No, and I tell our students who make imamat, and the object of them making imamat, which is a very important thing, is that to correct ourselves. Because, yeah, if the ustad tells you, a student is still prepared to accept. He's still in that mood and in that mode of accepting. But when he goes from yeah, and ordinary people have to tell him, he doesn't want to accept. He finds it very hard. And we find that many of our students, or others also, that who didn't have the namaz corrected, whole life that namaz carries on like that. And there is no correction. Yeah, when we tell them, mashallah, many of the students come and appreciate and say, Jazakallah, you informed me. You corrected me on this point. But if it's not done in the student days, then it is not done at all. Some people in this matter do have the objection that the musalla, imam's musalla is not for practicing imamat. So that is 100% correct. And the correct procedure, which we learn from Hazrat Maulana Shah Abrarul Haq Sahib, which we do give the instructions, how far it's been practiced, Allah knows that we have got ustads appointed, that the students must practice the namaz there, and then come and perform here. So, and also, if they don't learn this here, then when they become fariq, and they go to wherever they are going to do imamat, that is when they start practicing. One time, Maulana Abrarul Haq Sahib rahmatullah alayh went to one very big madrasa in Pakistan, and Fajr time the imam was going on the musalla, so he stopped him. So he asked, who are the final year students? They pointed them out. So he just pointed at random to one. He said, you perform the mass. And it was quite weak. The student was quite weak. So he then, Maulana Abrarul Haq Sahib rahmatullah alayh told the principal of the madrasa, see now this is your student who in a few months is going to be fariq. And he's going to go as an imam. But you can see for yourself what is the condition. So therefore, these things have to be ironed out and corrected. And during student days, fortunate, Hazrat Mufti, Wali Hassan Sahib Tomki of Newtown, Karachi, used to say, very fortunate are those young people who got elders above them. There is somebody to guide you, to tell you who you are prepared to listen to. And if you haven't got anybody above you, then it's very, very difficult for a person. So yeah, in the madrasa days, this is possible. Otherwise, these mistakes carry on for life. And they don't get rectified. So anyway, we were talking about... the straightening of the stuff, we tell our students also, that when you go wherever you make imamat, yet we forget, that we say everywhere, every masjid just should come alive. That the imam should walk in the steps or appoint people. What we usually suggest, that two persons from directly behind the imam walk one to the right, one to the left. And two people right from the end walk from that side. So it doesn't take long. So it's just half the stuff each one have to see. And because we just take things for granted, it's very, very surprising that we think we are straight. Sometimes the imam even makes the announcement and makes sure that your clothing is above your ankles. But the imam himself, his clothing is not above it. He made the announcement, but he takes it for granted, my clothing is above the ankles. But it is not. So there are many things like this that we have to try to take into consideration. So the announcement also should not be a customary thing. Just that you make that straighten the stuffs, but the stuffs are not being straightened. They should be straightened. That is the actual object. So a whole of our namaz also we must correct, inshallah, and our rozas also. And that is why we come here. And a person who comes here, and all of us, we have like a student attitude. That is what a murid is, and I want to learn. Then inshallah our namazes will be, rozas will be corrected. And we'll be able to keep correct rozas. So one was with regard to the tongue, that yeah, try and speak to the bare minimum. Then inshallah, haram talk won't come on a person. And this is the barakat of it also. That when a person will restrain himself in these matters, then inshallah, for the rest of his life, ghibat, backbiting, slandering, lying, these things will go away from a person. So each one of us should try, and like now we are all quiet, that's quite understood. But the minute, like it's said also, like in a classroom, even if it is grade 1 students or grade 12 students, the minute the teacher turns his back, you see noise starts amongst the students. Here also we find the minute the program is finished, we start talking, chatting amongst ourselves, etc. Fortunate are those, and there are those, mashallah, who get busy when they tilawat, when they zikr, etc. And then they cut it down on their talking. These people, inshallah, by the will of Allah and the system of Allah Ta'ala, inshallah, whole life, the whole year and then the whole life, Allah will help them to be saved from all haram talking. The same thing with the eyes. Yeah, we're not looking at haram. Yeah, isn't really any haram as such. It may be in the form of other woman, strange woman that we look at. But as we have mentioned many times, and which we are trying to get under control, on the cell phone we should see that there shouldn't be any animate objects on our cell phone. And we shouldn't be viewing and looking at all those things. If a person controls it now, and he controls the permissible also, and the essence of i'tikaf is seclusion. To be just in contact with Allah and nobody else. Many masjids in Pakistan, here also now, they got a very nice notice on the entrance of the masjid that now cut your contact with makhluk and make your contact rabita karo khaliq se. Now make your contact with the creator. So that is what this whole i'tikaf is supposed to be. That we cut our relationship, our contact with fellow people, and we build our relationship with Allah Ta'ala. And one of the biggest impediments and blockages and stoppages in this is the cell phone. And that the person with your friend also you talk, he might also get tired. Now you go down in your cubicle, you want to lay down, and you take out your cell phone. It won't get tired. It will carry on till Fajr with you also. So we have to be very, and give up the permissible things also. Then inshaAllah, it will become not second nature, but it will become nature of a person that he gives up haram. In fact, not only nature to give up haram, but an abhorrence. This is what is required also. A dislike, total dislike and abhorrence of sin. That nature must be built in a person. And this we noticed in many of our buzurgs. Haji Ahmed Dakhuda Sahab, Dabat Barakatuh, once we were eating, and in the vegetable salad, usually they put a fork there. So he says, when I see a fork, I feel like breaking it and throwing it away. It's a tariqah of the Nasara. And you can see it in his face, the dislike of it. You can see, it's not just words that he's saying. And in the tone of his voice, you can say how much he dislikes it. May Allah bring that day that for guna, this dislike comes into us naturally. Then it is almost impossible to think of committing a guna. When a person has got an abhorrence of it like this, and we learn to hate guna, how we hate stool and urine. In fact, Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali has explained this in a beautiful example. A person who got married, and you get married, you normally between the age of 20, 25, around there, more or less. So he used to wet the bed every night. So the wife said, "What is this? You're wetting the bed? You're a grown-up person, small children. When they are infants, they put napkins for them. They wet the napkins. Then even later, some children till 3, 4 years, 5, 6 years also, occasionally they still wet the bed. So they put a waterproof at the bottom. They do that, but you're a grown-up person." So he said, "Actually, what happens is that when I sleep, Shaitan comes to me in my dream, and he takes me for a very, very long walk. And after a long time, after a few hours, everyone, the need to go to toilet comes into a person to go and do number one. So he says, I tell Shaitan, I need to go to the toilet. We went for a walk. So Shaitan says, no problem. And he shows him in the dream an ultra modern, hygienic, clean toilet. So he does his thing there, but then in the morning I realized he is such a deceiver. The Shaitan is the biggest fraud. He even frauded me in my dream. He told me I'm in a nice clean toilet, but all the time it was just the bed. I was just dreaming." So the wife said, "Oh, Shaitan is such a good friend of yours. Every night he comes and he takes you for a long, long walk. And you know, we are so poor, we are having difficulty making ends meet. And Shaitan is from the jinnah. And they know exactly where money is kept also, where people keep. Tell him to show you where his money. What is this? He's making you wet the bed every night." So he said, "Yes, that's a bright idea. I will tell Shaitan." So that night Shaitan came in his dream again. And he told Shaitan, "My wife says this, you must show me where money is." He said, "No problem. Why didn't you tell me long ago? Come, I'll take you right away. Now I will take you." So he took him to a place where there was a big trunk filled with all gold and diamonds and emeralds and rubies and cash, you know, money and everything. So he was excited also. He rushed forward. It was very heavy to pick up. So when he went and picked it up, instead of number one, he did number two. So in the morning, the wife asked, "Now what is this? Eh? This was worse than before. Urine in the bed is also terrible. But even worse is stool in the bed." So he said, "What happened?" So she said, "Rather just carry on doing what you were doing. That wasn't so bad. Then that's what this is." So this is what our sins are. And as a person has abhorrence for stool, for urine, but that also, it's just words that we have got abhorrence. Alhamdulillah, Allah made us Muslims, and by and large we got Muslim culture within us. Otherwise, other people who go to toilet, the urine drops just keep on falling, and they feel they are very clean. And when they do their number two, they just use some toilet paper, and that is really just polishing. That is not cleaning. One good friend of ours, who was now he's retired, full-time in Jamaat work, mashallah. But he was a radiographer on the ships in those days. So he was only Muslim. And the other people, they complained about him that when they said there is somebody that when he uses the toilet, there are all water patches left in the toilet. Which also we should be careful about, especially if we use the toilets in the aeroplane, any public place, we make wuzu, sometimes in the aeroplane we make wuzu in the toilet also, but make sure that we leave it in a decent way, so the next passenger doesn't feel at all that this person who went out from here was a Muslim, a bearded person, and see how he left the toilet. We should leave it better than what we found it in also. So anyway, so they complained that they have water patches and that. So he understood, they referring to him, because he's the only one using water. They were having meals at that time, and there was condensed milk on the table. So he said, "Take this condensed milk and put it on your palm." and then take your finger and lick it up, like that for cleaning. They all did that. Then when it was finished now, no condensed milk. He said, still one more time. He said, do you get the taste of condensed milk? They said, yes. And they said, point noted. That we understand now, that even if you clean yourself with a toilet paper, no matter how you clean, but it's still left. There is the dirt and the filth of it is still left. And the sad part, and who we also feel are clean people, and people that we should follow, like that they go in the bathtub, with all the dirt, the urine drops also, and the dirt at the back also. They go in the bathtub, and all that mixes there. And in the tub, inadvertently, water goes through the nose, through the ears, it goes inside. And also, to conserve water, that one tub of water, the whole family uses it. Everyone, so everyone is adding something. In fact, one good friend of ours in Wombats, Bella Bella, where they have, they've got the water, the hot water, who's got an outfitting shop, clothing shop. So he says one time, that old lady, Muslim lady, 60 years old came, and she was asking for a bikini, a 60 year old lady, because they say in the public pool, they don't allow you to enter without a bikini. And then he said that water was tested there, sparkling, beautiful sparkling water it is, but they tested it, it had 60% urine in it. It's only with all the pool acid and with all the HTH and all this that it is kept sparkling and clean. But otherwise, it's got all this here. So anyway, so a person should be very careful of his cleanliness and the proper cleanliness. And Allah has blessed us. And also if we think that Madinatul Munawwara, from where Islam spread in the world, the desert area, Makkah Sharif also, water was scarce and very scarce at the beginning. Allah reward Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who bought Bir-e-Ruma and made it waqf for the Muslims. Before that, Muslims had great difficulty as far as water was concerned. Anyway, with that, in that place, so much of cleanliness Islam is taught. And today we suffer from this inferiority complex, that we feel that the others, just because of some perfume they use, etc., and just the image they have created through the media, etc., that they are very clean people. And on the other hand, in France, it's now just over 200 years, France was the first country that had toilets in their bathrooms in their homes. Otherwise, they were only public bathrooms, where you would go once a week or so, you go in bath. It wasn't a necessity to bath on a daily basis. Only once a week or so, they were public toilets. And now, of course, throughout the world practically, they've got bathrooms are in the houses also. Many rural areas, the toilet may be still outside, but a bathing facility, whatever primitive type, backward type, but normally it is in the house. So Islam has taught the world cleanliness. And many times we, our enlightened Muslim brothers, also make this remark that that the West has reached the moon already. They have put up satellites already. They have gone on the Sputnik and whatever, space lab and whatever else they have done. They have gone to the bottom of the ocean with their submarines, while we are still busy with istinja masalas. And we also feel guilty. There is nothing greater than istinja masalas. And this, in fact, the Arabs in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the non-Muslims, they used to admire, they also said it in a mocking way. It was a matter of sour grapes. That your Nabi teaches you even how to make istinja. That detail also he teaches you, because they don't know how to make istinja. They got nothing, no idea of istinja. Like commonly it is said of the predominant nation in India, they wear their dhoti. The dhoti which is maybe about 5 meters, but yet the sitter is open. Wearing so much of material. And when they wash themselves, they take a small little container to wash, which you cannot wash yourself clean enough. Whereas ours, the trouser is a much less material, but complete sitter. If you wear a lungi also, much less material and complete better. So it's not a matter of quantity, it's a matter of how to use it. So may Allah Ta'ala let correct ourselves in all these matters. So all this, the hatred for guna has to come into us. A natural abhorrence. And like that, a person stays away from guna, and there is tawab in there also. That a person likes to commit the guna, but he controls himself. But we know our nafs inevitably overpowers us. Just as we read in the kitab now of etiquette, that a poor person should not keep amanat money, things of amanat. Because nafs inevitably overpowers a person. So, if we have that abhorrence of guna, and we come to realize what guna and what sin actually is, then inshaAllah it will be easy. And the gunas of the tongue, like backbiting, a person enjoys backbiting. And if he's a little learned person, he even justifies himself. Lying also, all the gunas of the tongue. Gunas of the eyes, a person also justifies. Like for example, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali said, a person looks and sees a woman, and then somebody tells him, you're looking at haram. He said, the first gaze is permitted. I haven't started my second gaze. It's still my first gaze that I've put on this woman. So this is how we try and prove ourselves. Or also, Hazrat says, a woman is dressed badly. And a person is looking also. And he's saying, Toba, just see how bad. And he's still looking also. Toba, how bad. And he's telling his Maulana friend also, that Hazrat, just look how bad women are dressing nowadays. So he's committing guna, and he's telling his friend also, Maulana, to look also. So all this here, if we learn to stay away from permissible things in Roza, and that is why we have come in this environment where it's very easy. Like today, most of the training courses, a pilot also, is not done in the actual aeroplane at the beginning. You are sitting in front of a computer, and you are trained there in front of the computer how, and dangerous situations are brought in front of you, and whether you can save yourself, etc. So here also is an environment of safety. If we keep away from our cell phones, that is the thing that has found its way through almost any security. It finds its way through everywhere. Before, in the Haramain of Makkah Sharif and Medina Sharif, a camera, they will break it, they will throw it away. At one stage, cell phones also were not allowed. But now it is openly allowed. It's a sad thing. And if whether it's imposed on them or whatever. Otherwise, many of the Arabs, not only the guards themselves also, and many others are totally against the cell phone also, and totally against photo taking and music and that. But it has been perhaps imposed on them. Allah knows best. How come this license has just come about, and the cell phones and all the photo, the taking of photos and the music that is playing has suddenly just become permissible, and is just carrying on like wildfire. So, if we will keep our rozas in that, as far as the tongue is concerned, the eyes are concerned, for permissible things also, liberty completely, then inshallah, for the rest of the year, and eventually for the rest of the life, not only will we stay away from haram, but the abhorrence of these sins will come into us. And when that will come into a person, for him to live a good, clear life will become very, very easy. And then also we spoke about the ears, the haram things that we have to listen. Try and avoid that also as much as possible. Don't sit and listen while on the dastarkhan. And we are listening to other people. And some of us, we've got a tendency that we push our heads up front and we have to go and listen into the other people's conversation, which is a very, very terrible thing. It looks also so terrible that you are making it clear you are speaking to this person secretly, but this person is pushing himself in. Where he's not wanted, he's pushing himself in and he's trying to listen. That is also very, very bad. So control our ears also. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in the bazaar place, if there was music, he would put his fingers in his ears. And then he would ask the people, is that sound gone now? They should try that. If we also can, mashallah, if we have, there's a, where we are walking past a shop or sometimes the scars, and sometimes the whole taxi and the whole car is shaking with that heavy music that is playing. Hey, if we can at least make amal one time in a lifetime on the sunnah of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and put our fingers in our ears that we don't hear this music. If we will keep ourselves away from permissible things, inshallah, from haram things to listen to haram, Allah will make the arrangement. Bishr Hafi rahmatullah alayh was a person, was not a pious, righteous person, but one day he just saw a piece of paper with the name of Allah written, Bismillah or La ilaha illallah, whatever it might have been, and he felt, and there are many such people who are not like this pious, but the respect they have got for needy matters, we cannot imagine. We were traveling in Turkey one time, it was also Ramadan, and one of our friends, we were in Jamaat, he was reading Quran Sharif. After he completed Quran Sharif reading, he put it into his bag, which was below his seat. So it's a different department, different section completely, like you're living in a block of flats. People at the bottom flat also are reading Quran, they are putting on the people on top are going toilet on top also. So anyway, but there was a lady, a Turkish lady, and like outwardly we will say very modern, her dressing, clothing above her knees, etc., quite open, but she just did not allow it. She made him take out that Quran Sharif and said, how can you put Quran Sharif there at the bottom? So like that, there are many people, we might regard ourselves that we are the untouchables, and we are the very pious people, but there are many people, and these qualities, small, they might seem, but Allah loves them very greatly. And on that, Allah opens doors and doors upon those people. Whereas sometimes, may Allah forgive us, we take things for granted, and we don't show the respect and adab which is required for Quran Sharif, for Hadith Sharif. Our Buzurgs have gone to this extent that they won't go with a pen or paper to the toilet also. Even blank paper, because that is also a thing on which knowledge can be written. We are still very, very far. So when the person has all this adab, Allah Ta'ala will grant him all this. So anyway, Bishr Hafi rahmatullah alayh saw this little paper on which Allah's name was written. He cleansed it, he put ether on it, and in a respectful place he put it. At night he saw a dream. You respected our name, from today we will respect you and give you respect in the world. So what I wanted to show that Allah made it, and why he's called Hafi, Bishr Hafi. A person who is barefooted, hafiya, is barefooted. He doesn't wear shoes. So he shouldn't wear shoes. He should say this earth of Allah Ta'ala, wal arda farashnaha fana'mal mahidun. We have put the carpet on this earth, and we are the best of carpet layers. And on Allah's carpet I must walk with my shoes? I cannot. He should walk bare feet. In return, Allah Ta'ala made it. Wherever he used to walk, pebbles, stones, thorns, all this should be removed. Dirt from his path used to be removed. He showed respect to the kalam of Allah. Allah gave him this great, great karamat. And also, Allah made him an imam of a tasawwuf. And he raised so many people then onto Jannah. So if we will keep away from all things which are permissible also, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will bless us. So together with fasting, one was of the tongue from permissible things. And it is for this 1 month, from permissible things stay away. And when we have come, there are brothers, mashallah, who are spending their 40 days, 30 days, others 10 days, whatever period it is, we are spending it, and we spend it in the right way, then inshallah, from haram things, Allah will save us. And Allah will bless us with the abhorrence and dislike of sin also, of the tongue also. And then it won't be such a great mujahada and such a great effort. And if we will carry on with that, we are just little cautious. We got it already, like to become a hafiz is quite a job, but you have become. Now just see that you make your door daily, regularly, your door will stay intact. If we now got this treasure in this month, now just look after it for the rest of the year. Next year, the hafiz makes again taraweeh, it will become even more stronger. And he looks after it, inshallah, very soon his Quran Sharif will be very, very strong. If just we look after it. So the same way also, all the parts of the body, if we keep it away from permissible things, then from impermissible things it will become easy. And Allah will make us strong, control of the tongue. And a person who's got control of the tongue is blessed with a great, great, great value from Allah. A person who has got control of his eyes has got a great, great asset from Allah. And also with regard to the eyes and even the tongue, but eyes more. The first person to notice that we're not using the eyes right is the wife. We can bluff other people, but the wife notices it. And she will take us to task very openly. She won't pull her punches in any way whatsoever. Other people might still a little bit keep khiyal, keep you in mind, but the wife won't. And also, let us not feel offended when the wife takes off with us. When she is taking off, it's proof she has got love for you. That latent, hidden love is there. That is why. Otherwise she won't care. But and when you worry that somebody is looking at her, curtain is being left open or something, though you might be fighting with one another, but it is proof you have love for her. That is why you don't want her to keep a curtain open. That is why she don't want you to associate with other females, to be looking at other, because there is still love there. Now that little flame which is there, don't put that flame also off. Let that flame burn, the flame of love between the two, and make it stronger. And let there be more love between husband and wife. And cut off all the other things. So this is what we should, this roza, if we keep it in this way. Then we went on to our the eyes, the tongue and the hearing. Hearing also, all people who are talking, etc., try and avoid listening, try and avoid poking your nose into other people's business, whether it is eating time, whenever it is, you just carry on doing your own thing. Then roza of what we eat is also important. We did discuss that, just a few more examples of that, and then we will carry on, inshallah. One time we were discussing with a few friends, that in one country town, and today things have gone much more ahead. This is long time ago. About chicken liquor, Kentucky, etc., all these people, machachos, they got all, everything is halal everywhere. So he said that he had given his car in for service. So he went and picked it up. They said it will be ready by 5 o'clock, whatever the time is, towards the end of the day. But it was still not ready. So he was waiting outside, and next door was one of these food outlets. And the lady working there, local lady, she was the customer in the shop, so he knew her. And he saw her coming from across the road where there were OK's, the OK shops, and carrying parcels in her hand. So he spoke to her and he asked her, "What are you carrying?" She said, "I'm carrying this, I bought chickens there." So she said, but your chickens are advertised halal. She said, "They got finished, so what must I do?" So I went and buy from there. For them, it's nothing out of the ordinary. It's a business thing. Whether it's halal, whether it's haram, whether it's this chicken, whether it's that chicken. And we just see that halal bought, and we are happy, and we went by. So, and this food has got a great effect. Before that, just one, two other examples. The same person said, their son or your daughter was studying at university. So they came and visit over the weekend. And the ladies went on strike, which is also common that we're not cooking. You people must go and buy for us from the shop. So the man went and buy. They brought the, when they ordered, so they heat it up, get it ready. So in that time they asked that person, "Yeah, it's written halal, strictly halal. What does it mean?" He said, "Piri piri." And just little masala and that. And that is what is called halal. So if that is his concept of halal, we can well imagine that what kind of halal we are getting. One family, at one time also the ladies went on strike, "We're not cooking, you must go and buy." They bought some pizzas or something, and they were all sitting and eating, and her child, or so one of the ladies, the child, said, Mummy, see what is this? A whole yani nucha, a whole bundle of hay in there. So she hushed it up, and because then nobody will eat. It wasn't long when she found a bigger bundle of hay. And this is what we are eating. South African Airways, many years ago, there were feces was found in their food. And that was the time when South African Airways were winning their award every year for the best food that they serve on their planes. I asked one travel agent, and we got blinkers over our eyes, we don't know. So he said it is because of the altitude that it changes into feces. So I said, well, if that is the case, then that is the case, that if it changes, the altitude changes it into feces. But anyway, we have to be very careful of what we are consuming. Otherwise, we can get caught up very, very easily. And we can, one couple went to one Muslim country, and they enjoyed the kawabs there. The last day they were leaving, so the lady thought, I'll make these kawabs at home also. So wonderful kawabs. So she the day they were leaving, they went and asked them for the recipe of them. So they explained to them that these kawabs are made from pork. And then they realized, in a Muslim country, that the kawabs are being made from pork. So if we stay away from permissible things also in Ramzan, try and cut our, we read the stories of our Muslims, how little they ate. And if we try to be careful, then inshallah, we will see that for the rest of the year, that a taste will be built. Like for example, olive oil is very healthy, but until a person hasn't got taste for olive oil, he doesn't enjoy olive oil. And when he gets the taste for it, he can't have anything else but olive oil. I can still cherish the days when we used to be with the Arabs in France and that. And every day's breakfast used to be that big tray and with olive oil and olives in it. And the French loaf, the bread. And that was every day's breakfast. But even now, water is coming in my mouth. How tasty it used to be, that olive oil with that French bread, crispy, crispy, hot French bread, and that olive oil with the olives, extremely, and every day, as long as we were there, that was the breakfast. Same thing with Zamzam. A person has to get a taste, and once he gets a taste of Zamzam, he can't drink other water. Then he only wants Zamzam. And this also, it's a strange thing, which this reality will come into us if we keep our rozas properly and completely. What Mufti Sahib explained to us, that in Makkah Sharif, they were there, nobody's drinking Zamzam. There is Pepsi, there is all the other cold drinks, etc. So one small boy, in his own innocence, he knew Zamzam has got great value. So he told him, give me the black Zamzam, the Pepsi, to drink. So that is, there we drinking only all 7-Up, Pepsi and all the other drinks we are having. But when we come home, it's a matter of pride that we are only allowed 5 liters, but I brought 25 liters. There we don't drink. But got my way through, and I brought 25 liters. I brought so much of Zamzam. Yeah, it's for whatever reason. Yeah, we come with so much of Zamzam. But there we are not drinking the Zamzam. Zamzam, when the Amir of Madagascar at one time told that it comes in the Hadith Sharif, as Zamzam lima shurib, that Zamzam for whatever purpose you drink it, it will be granted to you. But whatever diyat you drink Zamzam, that will be. So he says it is not just drinking half a glass of Zamzam, one glass. He says you must drink and drink and drink and drink so much that it starts coming out from your ears and from your nose. In other words, that you have to run now to toilet also. So much you have drunk, and that time make your dua, and then say how the dua is accepted. We normally, one cup we drink, we lift up our hands, we make dua. We should drink it so much, then it has the effect of it. So inshallah, we should food also, a person must be very careful. Yeah, in the Khanqah, we try and regulate it from the sources where the food is coming from, etc. But especially at home, there are many, many sources from where our food is coming. Today, it's you go into a supermarket, you got your basket with you, pushing your trolley, and whatever you want, you take from the shelves, and you are just putting in. You come to the paytel and you just give your credit card or whatever it might be, and everything is over. But what have you put in the trolley? What things have gone in there? And there is quite a bit of history. This E numbers, There first it was written clearly, it was pig fat, etc. But when they saw the Muslims are not consuming that, they have changed it to E numbers. And so many E numbers, so some of them are permissible, others are not permissible. Who is going to remember all that? And very, the person just eats everything today. And food is the main source. From there, your flesh is made. Whether it's the flesh of Jannah that is being made, or the flesh of Jahannam that is made. From there, your amal are made. Whether good amal. Today it's very, very easy for a house to wife also. The children have come from school. Give them one can of Coke and give them one burger. They also very happy, and the mother also is very happy. Just buy the burger and the Coke and the child is happy. But no nutrients are given to the child. There is no benefit. That child becomes a big problem child. Because it hasn't got vitamins, nutrients in its body. It is just all just blown up. There is nothing in it. It is exactly like at the garages, you have that wind man, that tall man that can't control you, he's just blowing in the wind. And children are becoming like that. What problems parents are facing with their children, it is what we have to see, what food we give them. It's very, very important. In the olden days, the brothers were very particular with their food, but today children don't want to. They tell it's not burgers, one place we went, our safar we went, and they thought they are doing us a great favor, and they bought from one of these outlets, Kentucky or something, and that for us it was very difficult to eat that, but for them it they made your top ikram. They have given you the best what they could give. And some places some brothers go and insist we only will eat from Kentucky, or we'll only eat from one of these outlets. This is a very important thing which we are not paying attention to nowadays, and which is very, very important that we see what food we eat. So in Ramzan, try and curtail, cut down on halal, jais food also. Inshallah, Allah will bring this habit of good food, halal and tayyibah into our lives. And then we will keep the proper rozas. Together with that, with all this, as Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah, acquire taqwa. And in this place, Allah Ta'ala gives another prescription. Wal tanzur nafsum ma qaddamat li ghad. Each person should see what I have prepared for tomorrow. That is the day of Qiyamah. If you visualize and concentrate on that, inshallah, by that also taqwa will come. That what have I prepared for Qiyamah? What's my amal like? Turn the pages a bit and see what we have got in our record of deeds. And then again Allah says, Wattaqullah. If you find that you have changed your life, you have become pious, but now don't have a holier-than-thou attitude. Don't think that I am a big muttaqi and you forget your past. And you forget what and what you did, and what is still in record of yours. What of your cases haven't come up still. Maulana Palanpuri Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to give a beautiful example of this. A person stole money from somebody, whatever amount, and he was going on his motorbike with all the money packed on him. And he's traveling very happy, daydreaming that with this money I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll buy this, I'll buy that. Lot of money he stole. But it, like today's zamana, a friend contacted him on the cell phone and said the police have caught up with you. They know it is you and they know the route you are taking, and the police are out with a warrant of arrest for you. Now immediately that same money that he was daydreaming about so much, he will take it and throw it away this side and that side. So I'm not caught with the evidence. At least let the evidence get away so I can be safe. Okay, so just like that, our files, what are kept in our files, and we thinking we are quite safe. Okay? And if one warrant of arrest, Allah has to open up for us what we had done, and we think we are scot free, and we are clear with everything, but in our files, what records are there? And Allah Ta'ala, وَمَا يَعْلَمُ جُنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّا هُوَ. Nobody knows the armies of Allah but He Himself. If Allah have to unleash one police of His, one army of His against us, where do we stand a chance? We just have to make tawbah. So keep our rozas properly and try and correct our lives, and we don't get this holier-than-thou attitude. And then also, anger we have to control, which also comes from the type of food that we eat. The desire of lust The sexual desire, anger, is all to do also with our food, to a great extent. What we are reading, what we are, who we are associating with, all this is important. So if anyway, in short, if we keep our rozas properly, it will reform us completely. And we will be a new person after Ramadan. And then when we go into our new life, things will be much more better. So may Allah give us tawfiq that we keep our rozas properly, whether it's the roza of the tongue, of the eyes, of the ear, of what we eat, and then our attitude, not having a holier than thou attitude, and then this anxiety whether my roza is accepted or not. That only we'll know when we reach there. Here in this world, nobody can know first. We have great hopes in the mercy of Allah. Allah is extremely merciful, extremely merciful. Even just a little show of something, Allah, when Allah Himself has instructed us through the hadith, that if you can't cry, just make your face like a crying person. Allah told us, and Allah knows you're not a crying person. But Allah says, I'll accept that also that you cry. So when Allah is so merciful, we just have to make this little effort, and inshallah, we'll have this, what Allah will term it as a perfect roza, and then we will get this taqwa, and we will be good friends of Allah, great friends of Allah. May Allah give us all tawfiq.